Okay, so firstly, Mazel Tov to all of you. Presnyansky from Adayad. So Adayad was created a few years ago for a successful marriage, starting from predating. We did predating courses to be ready for marriage and for dating, then through dating, engagement, and early marriage. And then recently, we got a grant from the City of New York to deal with domestic abuse. So if you look on the website, you will see some about domestic abuse, not to say that it's the proportions are even in reality. It's just that when you get grant money, you use grant money. So we deal with domestic abuse as well. Okay, so this call is specifically for coronavirus. Normally, I wouldn't have to have such a call. Our topics for engaged couples don't really address things like corona, but that is our reality, and so we will have to address that. This call is for engaged couples, not early married, and not those who are dating. Of course, if you're in any of those categories, you can listen in, but this is not, that's not what the target of this specific call is. It's for engaged couples specifically. Several questions came in advance. If you have questions that are not addressed, then definitely send them in. I did this call a few times and for different groups, and I've fielded several questions. I fielded several calls from different young women, young men, and parents. I myself have a son who's engaged, so I'm very much in it. Several people have also called me, so I have their questions as well. Some of the questions that came in, I see there's three main categories. One is the relationship. One is the not knowing the date of the wedding. And the third is about the wedding itself. What will the wedding look like? And, of course, there are some other questions that we can come in. But those are the three main categories that we'll talk about. Firstly, about the relationship. And I want to just talk about engagement in general. Engagement in general is a happy time and a stressful time. Yes, happy events also bring stress. So some of what you may be feeling is the general engagement stress. What I mean by that is that you're forming a new relationship. You're also having, well, in general engagement, you'd also be preparing for a wedding and preparing an apartment. And with that just comes a lot of details, and details of stress. Even if it's for a wonderful wedding and for a marriage, it's stress. So just know that some of what you may be feeling is regular engagement stress. I don't know if anyone ever told you that engagement is stressful, but it is. So that's the general stress. Now, besides the details of a wedding, another added element of our from engagement is that on the one hand, you are committed to each other, but on the other hand, you don't have the final commitment and you don't have the wonderful bonding that an actual marriage has with physical intimacy and living together and having shared experiences. So you're in this in-between time, and that adds a certain level of stress as well. You have the commitment, but you don't have the benefits. It's usually the engagement, and our from engagements is a logistics time from the making of the commitment to actual wedding. So with that, we have certain stress as well. Now, in this most recent time, you have a huge stress on top of it, the huge stress that most of the world is experiencing of coronavirus, and top of and how that changes your wedding preparations, your marriage preparations. So just, you have an extra layer. Most people have have the general corona plus where they are, their circumstance in life. Like parents at home have that extra layer of parenting their kids at home, and people who are lonely have that extra layer. So everyone has an extra layer on top of corona. You have your extra layer. Maybe you have several layers, but one of your extra layers is preparing for a wedding and preparing for a marriage that you don't even know when and what it might look like. There's a lot. There's a lot going on. Plus, you have a new relationship that doesn't have any precedence from many other people. You can't say, so you can't go to your friend who got married 2 years ago and said, when your husband was all stressed about her grandfather dying, what did you do? I mean, we're dying from corona, and then no one can see them, and whatever, what did you do? It's very unprecedented. There's no place to turn to. So that adds another layer of stress. I just want to acknowledge the stress that you have and recognize that you have a unique stress. It is what it is. On top of that, some of you may have lost a job or uncertain about a job, or some of you working in the health field may be busier, or working in the other field may be busier. So a lot has changed, and you definitely don't have what's considered, and I'm putting ear quotes, a regular engagement period. But it is what it is. It's when you are engaged. This is your time. This is it. So work with what it is instead of spending a lot of time wishing that you had a regular engagement period. Work with what is. You could definitely be upset, disappointed. These are natural feelings, but after a while, they're not going to get you anywhere. So work with what is. Make jokes if you can. Make corny jokes if you can. But it is what it is. Somebody was saying, when are you getting married? I don't know. I think it's going to be June 31st, which obviously there is no date June 31st. So corny joke, whatever. But it's trying. Okay, let's talk about the relationship in general. So some of the questions that came in were in categories of, like I said, how do I support him? How do I support her in general about corona and uncertainty, corona and specific family members, and corona and our wedding. Okay, so all of that kind of goes together. First thing, supporting somebody in corona in general, just because you're engaged and you're committed and you will have a life together doesn't mean that you're the best person or definitely not the only person to support each other. It's not even fair to expect that your husband, your kala, will be the biggest support. They don't know you yet very well. They don't know your trigger points. They don't know how to calm you. You don't even know how to calm you. So in this big uncertainty. So how could they know? At the very least, if you're expecting your husband, your kala to support you, at least tell them what you want. Now that's where it gets tricky, because many of us don't even know what we want. We don't even know what kind of support. This is so unprecedented, and this is so beyond our experiences, especially someone younger. Someone who's older may have had some disappointments, but just by the fact that you are younger in years and have less life, then you have probably have less disappointments than someone who's 50 or 60. You yourself may not know what kind of support you want, and it's not fear, and it's not reasonable to expect that your husband Kala, who doesn't know you so well, could figure out how to support you if you don't even know what you want. Your mother, your father, your best friend may not even know how to support you, and don't expect that your husband and Kala will, and as a husband and Kala, don't expect that you will be the main support. It's not fair to yourself. And if your husband and Kala is trying to support you and it's not the right kind of support, don't read into it any further than they don't know me yet or nobody really knows how to support each other in this. And don't say, he's not a good support for me, so maybe he's not going to be a good support for me later on in life. It's not a fair or reasonable way of thinking. Look to the people who would have supported you previously before you met your husband Kala, and ask those people for most of your support. But on the other hand, a chasen kala should be somewhat supportive. If someone is going through a nechem avela, you have to, whether it's uncomfortable or not, but you have to be there to be yes. Menachem avel, the in-laws or the whoever it is, even if you don't know. So even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's someone you don't know, but you are now in the family, stretch yourself. Go out of your comfort zone and be Menachem Avel. It may be harder because you don't know the person, so you have no stories, no anecdotes to share, but you really ought to be Menachem Avel, whoever it is in the family that needs to be Menachem Avel. Be Menachem Avel. It's uncomfortable, but it's part of adulting. As far as supporting each other in the disappointment of the type of wedding or supporting each other and being feeling so unsettled about when the wedding and what the wedding, again, it's similar. Yes, you can complain to each other You can laugh with each other if you can. You can cry a little bit, but it's really unreasonable and not fair to expect that your chassan, your kala, should be the full support for that. Again, they don't know you, and they don't know you all that well and know how to help you. They're going through it themselves. So yes, you can validate each other, and you can try to find the humor in it, and if you're not particularly funny, and if you don't find humor that easily, then that's okay. But it's really unreasonable and not fair to expect that your chassan kala will be the full support on that also. You can cry to your best friend, you can cry to your mother, you can cry to your father, you can cry, and we'll talk a little bit more about the dashing, like you won't have the wedding of your dreams. I'll talk a little bit more about that. Now, about as far as the relationship, many chassan teachers, many kala teachers lament that the engagement is so short, and sometimes the dating is so short, that the engagement is spent mostly on logistics of the wedding and the apartment, which is, like I said, the engagement is a logistics time, and there isn't a lot of time spent on building the relationship and preparing for the marriage. So while, especially if you don't have a date and you don't expect that you're going to get married during Sfira, you have 6 weeks now of building the relationship. And there's all kinds of things that many people wish they would have done as early as possible in their Shana Rishana or in their engagement or in their dating. And you can get a head start on those areas. You can be talking about areas like on a simple way, how your mother, your father knows about the other side of the family. You can be talking about your family history. You can be talking about your siblings. You can be sharing pictures of your siblings, of your grandmother, of your grandfather, of, stories like that, because eventually you're melding two family histories, you're melding two families. That is a more casual kind of conversation that you can have. If you're not from the same neighborhood, you can be taking a walk around your neighborhood and with your camera or your video camera and showing different aspects of your neighborhood so that you get to know each other, where each other grew up. This is the park I played in. This is the show. This is my school. Especially if you didn't get to see each other's neighborhoods because you dated, let's say, in New York, and normally you would have gone to see the other family, but you didn't, or you didn't have a l'chaim or whatever it is. So this is one way that you can get to know each other's families, each other's way of where you grew up. Another thing that you can do is create a memory book of where you dated, because you have time. Most people don't get to that, and then some of the places close down, so it would be fun, maybe, if that's your style, of creating a memory book of where you dated, or at least collecting pictures to create a memory book later. Then there are some real conversations that you should be starting to have. Money style, for example. What stresses you, and how do I know that you're stressed? When I was working with a seminary, we had the roommates, as they were unpacking, to have conversations in this style of what stresses you, how do I know if you're stressed, what can I do as your roommate to help you? These kind of conversations, instead of running into it after you run into a problem and then saying that you should have known or whatever, as roommates and as a married couple, it might be interesting to have those conversations earlier. You can talk about money styles, what you feel is important to save for, what you feel is frivolous, and how you're going to work through that. You can talk about how you're going to share household responsibilities. There's always that typical story of in his house, his mother took out the garbage, and in her house, the father took out the garbage, and when they get married, no one's taking out the garbage because they just assume that the other one will take out the garbage. So, some things have to actually play out in real life, but some things you can actually have a discussion around. I like to cook, but I don't like to clean the chicken, so, talk that through. Of course, then you can always do it in real time, but now you have some time in advance. So things like responsibilities and how you're going to manage your time, you can have all these kinds of conversations before they turn into a real-life situation. You can talk about it in theory, and you can talk about your favorite food and all kinds of things that some people have to actually straight through Shana Rishana. You can talk about them earlier. For those of you who are actually in the same city, you can sit, and you are quarantining, you can sit in two cars near each other in a parking lot and see each other but talk on the phone. Similarly, you can sit on two sides of glass if you're quarantining. You can do that up to an hour or two of distance, but you can't do that too often if you're much further than that. So those are some things that you can do as far as building the relationship while you're waiting to get married. Some of you may decide that you want to get married earlier because what's the point of waiting for a bigger wedding? And some of you may hold out on the decision to hold out for a bigger wedding, and we'll talk about that as well. I'm going to talk now about the unsettled, no wedding date. I don't know what we're preparing for. I don't know like when I should start, you know, start my lease of my apartment. Or I had plans to go away for the summer, and I don't know what, you know, so we didn't get an apartment, and all those kind of unsettledness about not having a wedding date. Yeah, it's unsettling. And no one's going to deny that. No one's going to take away from you and your family that this is a very unsettling to not know. Most, like I said before, the engagement usually is a logistics time. There's the commitment. There's the logistics to make, to set up the wedding, to set up the apartment. And then the actual marriage of the consummation of that commitment and the actual beginning of a new life. But so most of the time we have a date pretty soon thereafter. You get engaged and you make a date. And you know how long, and you kind of gauge in your mind how long this is going to be. In Corona and with what's going on now, we don't, when some people are not putting a date, some people had a date and then their wedding got pushed off. So like that has a different sense of unsettling, like we were supposed to be married now, but we're not. Some people are who have got engaged, didn't put a date. Some people who have a date are not sure that it's actually going to be on that date. And what does that look like? Some people have that date, but they're not really preparing for a wedding because the vendors are not open. They don't know how many people they're preparing for. They don't even know, you know, if the hall, if, you know. So one thing I just want to put in perspective is that those weddings that happened Erev Pesach, most of them had to be changed in a rush because they, well, most of them had a date, and some of them actually moved it forward or for different reasons, but all of those weddings were planned in a rush. A small silver lining or a light silver lining for you is that you have time to play with. You have time to be creative, and you have time to actually accept your reality, which some of those weddings did not. Some of those weddings ended up having in an alleyway, or the yichud room was the garage. You know, like it was a little more impromptu than you have to have, especially so coming up. So you could be creative. I know here in the Five Towns, when we were sort of maybe thinking that we could make some weddings before Pesach, someone who has a lovely home on the Yulid Bay, Yulid Harbor, offered to make her backyard. It's lovely. It didn't have to be in an alleyway, and it was could be spread out. So there are options, especially in 6 weeks from now. The weather's a little bit warmer. You know, in the Northeast, we don't know about rain, but there are options. Light silver lining compared to those Erev Pesach, not to say that those Erev Pesach, you know, it just is and was. And some of them were creative. Some of them, there was something lovely. I spoke to several parents and a few, even the chasen kalas of those who got married then. There was something nice and intimate about the way their wedding was. They are, some of them are hoping to make another celebration. Some of them are very grateful to have the money. Now that the marriage has started, they realize that they would love to have that money. I know that one couple, while they had their big grand wedding, the Sheva Brachos was already in quarantine time, so they were supposed to have a nice Sheva Brachos, and the families that were supposed to make the Sheva Brachos gave them the cash, $1,800 as a nice wedding gift. So putting things in perspective, they didn't have a big Sheva Brachos, they didn't have any Sheva Brachos, but they got the cash. So that might put things in perspective. One Bacher told me that he wanted to have he always imagined an adventure weekend for his wedding. But of course, that's not the way we do things, but he wants to have an adventure weekend celebration with a few friends. I'm not sure if, how, but he's still dreaming of that he's going to have an adventure weekend. I don't know, rock climbing, bungee jumping. It was a little bit beyond my style, but he may be able to have his celebration in the way that he would have dreamed, or one of his dreams were. So there are some silver linings to this situation. Yes, it's very sad that you won't have your grandparents or your best friends or people can't fly. But the reality is that they can't, unless you want to wait indefinitely. but it's more, the wedding is a celebration of the marriage, and the marriage is really the priority. So while it's hard to wrap our head around that, because usually it comes, the marriage starts off with a big party where you're the center of attention. For some people, they love that. Some people like it less. Some people are more sentimental. Some people are less sentimental. The reality is that the wedding, the marriage is what's really most important. So putting things in perspective, that might help people put, for some people, that might help put things in perspective. For some, what might help put things in perspective is that there's many people like you. Like, I remember years ago, there was a major blizzard and the wedding was canceled. And she felt like she was the only one in the world. So she had her chuppah with 10 people. The vendors couldn't come. No, there was no food. There was no flowers. The hall was able to be opened and heated, but there was nothing there. And, of course, there weren't that many guests that could come because it was a major blizzard. I can't remember how many years ago, but it was definitely over 10, 12 years ago. And so she made another celebration. Well, the ceremony, it was just a big party, and she had a great time, and there wasn't that nervousness of a wedding night and whatever, so she just had a great time with that. So again, perspective, but for you, there's many, many people who are having these corona weddings. Some are more creative, some are bigger, or some are a little bit more grand, and with more flowers and whatever, but live music, DJ music, CD, but you're in it with a lot of people. So for some people, that is reassuring that I'm not the only one. And I'm just sharing several different things that have worked for people as I spoke to them. Some of it might work for you, some of it may not work for you, but the point is, it's all about your perspective and your mindset, because your reality is your reality. It is corona, and you don't know how long it's going to be. Governor Cuomo said May 15th in New York, and then they're going to slowly release it, so I don't know what that means to weddings. Nobody knows, and that's what makes the uncertainty so much harder. But again, it's about the marriage. I remember there's a story in our family of my great aunt got married in Samarkand. It was the second floor. It was a small wedding. So they had a meal, and then they wanted to dance, and they put the benches out the window so they could dance. There's more to the story, but that's not the part that's relevant. So again, it was important to them to have a marriage rather than a wedding. When she was a little girl, way before the war and way before everything, she imagined a beautiful wedding, just like her cousins had when she was a little girl. But reality changed for her. So I want to. So that is some ways to look at the wedding, whether it's the financial. For some people, the financial works. For some people, it's the idea that they could have a celebration of their own style rather than a community. Exactly what the community wants. These are things that may work for you. For those of you who really want to be working on a wedding, you can work on your playlist, you can work on your tour, you can work on things that don't have an exact date, and you don't necessarily have to know who your vendor is.
The question was, how can we build the relationship?
Throughout your married life, you should be dating as well. So what I mean by dating is actually just having a nice time. While you may not be in person having a nice time, there are some virtual ways. While you put out a way, I'll share the document, but I put out a list of dating ideas, which is, they were talking more for getting to know you dating rather than engaged dating or married dating, but the idea, many of the ideas still work. There are escape rooms that you can do at the same time. There are lots of virtual trips that you can do at the same time. They were suggesting to do like a book club. It could be a book on marriage. It could be a book on anything. Like read the same book or read the same article and discuss. Watch the same movie at the same time and discuss. A lot of you could Zoom, cook and Zoom at the same time. Some people have like a dinner together. Like they're eating dinner at the same time. Ordered in the same thing, if they can, if they're in the right neighborhoods, to order in the same kind of thing, like both order in Chinese, put a candle on each one, on Zoom. It's up to a personality. So that's the setting. But as far as conversations, there's lots of conversations that you have through the Shana Rishona. Adayat is working on a Shana Rishona course. And for those of you who want to work through the beta version, I would love to have, but it has to be a couple, not one-on-one. It's designed to be for couples. I would love for you to test it out. We have areas as far as communication, money styles, playfulness styles, how to handle disappointment, how are we, like meaning like how I would like to be told good news, how I would like to be told bad news. For each one, it's different. Don't go with your own gut, but go with the way communication is in the hands of the receiver. So what is the receiver? If in a miskabel, what is your miskabel? How do they prefer to hear it? All kinds of things like that. Family boundaries, privacy boundaries. Family boundaries may be a big topic or not such an important topic. Sometimes families of origin are very intrusive, and so the child of the child has to be the one to put the boundaries, and you may start that now. For some people, they should have been married at this point, and their families are still like telling them, you know, you have to help at the house rather than talk to your chas and your kala. So there's some boundaries that need to be set. As far as conversation starters for these topics, I have lots and lots. And for those of you who want to be part of the beta or just get the shortcut, the one page on the topics, I'd love to know like what style you're interested in getting and the conversation starters for all of these topics. In general, you don't have to be doing everything together, even in married life. So it's important that you have your own interests, because in married life, if you did everything together and worked together and had the same hobbies together, then you would have less to talk about, like what did you do in your day, because you know everything. So right now in Corona, some of you have a lot going on in your day. Some of you have the same old, same old. I mean, that's what it seems like for most people, is that it just feels like all the days are blurring into another, a groundhog day. But for in general, you should be have your own interests and your own hobbies, and it's okay for you to be doing your own interests and your own hobbies right now. Some people spend a lot of time when they're engaged with their chas and kala. I have a lot of thoughts on that, which we can go to in parentheses. And some of you spend a reasonable amount. You definitely, for those of you who thought that you would be spending all of your time together, you should never be spending, I mean, it's not really ideal to be spending all of your time together. You need your own separate lives. It's just healthier that way. So it's okay that you're not spending all your time together. Adiyad puts out every day a marriage tip. It's called Just One Thing. It's nice and short. A while ago, we put out a marriage tip. It was actually before the summer when people go to the country or whatever. It was called A Better Way to Say I Miss You. And I will send you, I'll try to send that to a bunch of you and you can forward it out. But generally, you don't just say I miss you. You can say what you miss about each other. Tell them exactly what you miss and then turn it into a wish list. For example, I miss your calm and smile at the end of a stressful day. Rather than just say, I miss you. So you're talking about, I miss your smile. And then you can turn it into a wish list. I wish I could see your calming smile just about now. So that's a better way of talking to each other. And just in general, talking to each other. There's several tips on the Adiyad, Just One Thing. For those of you who want to sign up for it, send a text to 475-212-2049. And that's 475-212-2049. And it's sent out 5 or 6 times a week in the morning. I covered all of the questions that came in. Does anyone have any other questions? Okay, one question came in. How do we deal with the marriage worries, apartments, jobs? Huge. You're together with most of the world right now as far as jobs. Many people don't know where they're, you know, financially, how they're going to, what they're going to do. For some chas and kala, one is moving to the other one city. They didn't have a job in that new city, or they may not have had a job. That job may not be there. The job market is tight. It's weird. So those stresses are very real. Some of the gurus are saying to try your side hustles that you were always dreaming of. Now's the time, because you don't have a job anyway. You have time, so try your side hustle. Network, network, network. For some people, there are jobs in the online world, in the online teaching world. Some people want tutors for their kids, so if that's what you're doing, it's a lot about networking. When you're networking, is not a time to be humble. Say what your experiences are, say what your skills are, say what your dreams are. Talk to someone and say, you once were dreaming of this, maybe we can collaborate on this. It's a lot about networking and just not spending time worrying, but Networking. Now, that's easier said than done, I know, but it's an opportunity to try things that are less safe because you don't have a job anyway. As far as apartments, if you have an apartment and you can't afford it anymore, there's all kinds of recourses as far as renting an apartment, if you don't know when to start renting an apartment or when to find the apartment for, you know, like, what am I looking for, a June date? Am I looking for a July date? Tough. Sometimes a lot of landlords are having a hard time renting apartments. They may go with you, you know, like taking the apartment, but I don't know what date I'm starting with. But I will guarantee that I'm starting by August 1st. You know, something like that may work. You can negotiate with landlords. Right now, it's a little bit in the renter's market, a little bit. You can play with the broker's fees a little bit. You can, because they're not renting very easily either. So you have some advantage here, some upper hand, and see if you can use that. As far as shopping, you can shop for the apartment and store it in someone's living room. Definitely. Make your registries, because why not? People feel bad for you, which, you know, use that to your advantage and let them send you gifts and leave them in someone's living room. Not easy. Not easy. And I don't envy you. I don't envy me. I don't envy lots of people on this. Few key books on marriage. Oh, one of the ones that many chassan teach. By the way, for those of you, you could start your chassan kala classes online on Zoom. You don't have to learn in person. And if there's a chassan teacher or a kala teacher that you like, that you hear about, that lives in LA and that you would never, probably not have used because you would go to someone more local, or you know, LA or Chicago, Detroit, whatever. Now Zoom is a great time. They may want the parnasa, and you may get the one that you wanted. So definitely start with that. Now, as far as books, many chassan teachers, kala teachers recommend Dr. Wickler's book, 10 Minutes a Day. It's a good book. It's not a full book. It doesn't address all of marriage, so don't think of it as, you know, the end all, the one only book. But it is a good book. The Marriage Restoration Project, which is a firm guy from Baltimore, Shlomo Slapkin has a lot about the imago dialogue. We have some of it on our website as well, and I can send you that. If you Dafka like books, the Couple Skills book, it's not a Jewish book, but it's a great book, has lots of skills. There's a book about money, Money Harmony, .com. And then you can do something with your personalities, 16personalities.com, and get to know your own personality, get to know your Kala Chassan's personality, and get to see how they work together and how you can maximize from each other. Every personality type work well together. It's just, you may as well know a little bit more about your temperament and what works together. I'm going to put a list of books, some Jewish books and some general books and some websites. I'll put that on Adayad's website. The WhatsApp number is 475-212-2049. This is a very important question. I'm going to read it as it came in and then elaborate on it. It's a very important question. I've grown to not care when the wedding will be, but not in a positive, it's more like a, it is what it is, oh, but not in a positive, it is what it is attitude, but a more like whatever. It will be awkward no matter, so whatever. Okay, how can I refocus? This is a very important question, and this is a very important thing about, in general, in disappointments, and a thing of somewhat trauma and life. Some people get into this, I'm going to do something creative mode when they have like something like this. Some people are like, you know, it's going to be a wedding, I'm going to be married, and it doesn't really matter what the wedding is. Some people are like, I'll just go with the flow, whatever, let someone else invite me, tell me that it's happening Tuesday night, and I already have my dress, and I already have my kapata, and just tell me where, what, and I don't want to know about what the wedding is, I'll come as a guest, but it's not, some people are coming from that as in a positive way. Some people are coming out as a negative way. All of these are valid. All of these are legit. Some are stronger ways of adapting to trauma. Some are less strong, but they're all valid. So wherever you fit into the spectrum, you're normal. There are stronger ways, like, and some people who are more creative are, you know, come on, are coming up with. Like the first one who came up with the drive-through wedding, that was creative. At a certain point, it got, okay, yeah, whatever. But someone used their creative energies, and it may or may not have been the chassan kala, may have been some of the family. Someone used some creativity and came up with an idea. Some people, you don't have to be better than someone else's idea. You don't have to have a better idea than somebody else. If that was something that you feel would work for you, then go with it again. But the fact that you're feeling blah, whatever this wedding will be, it will be in a whatever, is still normal. You could focus on the marriage more than the wedding, which is really, really the important thing. All those rabbanim who are always spoke about a takana wedding, and now there are these videos that are going out. This Corona did what the rabbanim could never accomplish. Helping people refocus and reprioritize that it's the marriage. It's true. It is the marriage rather than the wedding. But some people like to celebrate big, and some people don't care. And some people if it's either big or bust. And those are all normal. If you want to focus on the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 that is being saved, and that hopefully some of them will go to your down payment or a car or a vacation in Thailand, then refocus that way. But the truth, and the bottom line is that the wedding is so much less important than the marriage. And even the vacation afterwards where you're building your relationship is probably, in a way, more important than the fancy wedding. For some people, that may help. For someone individually who doesn't help, you can reach out to me privately. Give me your phone number because this question came in anonymously, and we can have a conversation. What's the line between a chassan kala being the proper support and need to talk to someone who understands you a bit more? I'm going to say my perspective. I think that now is a time to speak to, if with real anxiety, and all anxiety is legit, real anxiety about Corona, real anxiety about I'm not having the wedding of my dream, real anxiety, speak to someone who knows you better. It's not fair to burden someone who But remember, both of you are trying to create a relationship. Don't create a relationship on too much anxiety or too much, I don't know what to say right now. I don't know what to say right here. I don't want to share my fullness of my anxiety. I don't want to dump it. Why are you dumping all of this on me? I don't know what to say. I'm also dealing with this. It's better to speak to someone who really knows how to support you in a joking way, who knows what's your favorite flavor of ice cream. Or your favorite sushi, or whatever. Yes, you can tell your chassan kala, right now I want chocolate chip mint ice cream. And if they're in a place that they can order it for you, I mean, if you're in a place they can order it for you, great. But some of you are not even in a place where you can get it ordered. So, speak to somebody who knows you better. Don't, in general, even in a good, in easy times of engagement, you shouldn't be dumping too much of your stress on your chassan, on your kala. My mother doesn't want to do this for the wedding. My mother's driving me crazy. Don't dump that on your chassan kala, even in a easier time. Recommendations for a kala chassan to be studying. I'm going to put that on the website. Once again, mazel tov and good Shabbos. The wedding will happen. The marriage will start on a strong foot. Adayad, you build a binyan, adayad. It's an interesting time. In our family, we have this motto, if it doesn't work out, at least you'll have a story to tell. Well, in this case, you'll have a story to tell about your wedding, about the beginning of your marriage, about your engagement. You definitely will have a story to tell.